Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we're speaking with Mr. Paul Herrnchak. He is the Vice President at LPS Industries, a New Jersey-based flexible packaging manufacturer. For the past 50 years, LPS has been providing unique flexible packaging solutions to various markets, including medical, food, electronics, agrochemical, and much more. And Mr. Herrnchak, thanks for joining us here today on EPN.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you're more than welcome. Great to have you back. Looking forward to getting an update from you as well. So for starters, and of course, you were on the show discussing supply chain woes after the pandemic a few years back. How have things improved since then?
Well, I'll tell you, it hasn't. If you go back to 2018 and you ask somebody what a supply chain was, likely an answer could be, well, it's the chain that ties to the anchor of the ship carrying supplies, and that's about as far as it would go. We learned a lot through the pandemic. I think from a material side, yes, it has lessened in the past year. We here at LPS Industries have seen it. A number of our customers, suppliers have seen the same thing where due to the pandemic turn of events, which people were making maybe product A and switched to something to help out the pandemic, be it a COVID test kit or something along those lines. Yes, we've normalized materials. Where I don't see it coming back to normalcy right away is with the transit situation. Between the disruptions with the Red Sea, the disruption with the Panama Canal, the Suez Canal, there is the new bottleneck of 2024.
Certainly some interesting information and details, and really do appreciate that as we get things underway here today. Now, also tell me, what factors are affecting the supply chain issue today? Get into that a little bit further.
Well, let's take a look at the Red Sea disruptions with the Suez Canal. As we know, the supply chain today is has a number of contributing factors, one being, of course, the effect on business here in the States and internationally. Two, the political climate, and that's what's happening with the Red Sea disruptions, as we know what was going on with the Houthis and how the Suez Canal traffic has decreased due to that political situation year over year. If you take a look at charts that are out there, you'll see that traffic through the Suez is down 50%, which means that those ships are now going around the Cape of Good Hope, but that increases the transit time by 10 days to 2 weeks at a minimum. The second situation going on concurrently is the Panama Canal. Probably the worst drought since it's opened, and we have maybe half the ships traversing the Panama Canal today. And what that does is put the logistics people, the maritime carriers, into a real uncertain state. If I'm expecting a ship to come through and pick up in Antwerp and deliver to, say, New York, well, what if that ship is being bottlenecked by one of those two canals? That puts me into a situation of figuring out how to get my product through. It's a political situation. It's a logistics and freight situation, and it affects business. And it really affects business on the reshoring front, too.
Yeah, the information shared so far helps us understand better what's going on. So my question for you is, do you see things improving anytime soon in these regards?
I would hope that Q3 and Q4 we'll see some improvements. I don't know that the Panama Canal is certainly going to get all the water it needs to bring back traversing ship traffic to its normal state. What goes on in the Red Sea? Who knows? I'm hoping that there's some, you know, geopolitical intervention that will give maritime carriers the safety that it needs to bring their ships through. But honestly, I think we are going to be at a reduced rate of transit traffic through those two very important passes for at least the balance of the year.
Certainly do appreciate your joining us here today. And for this update, we're speaking with Mr. Paul Haranchak. He is the vice president at LPS Industries, a New Jersey-based flexible packaging manufacturer. And he's joined us once again here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you feel companies across the board need to start having conversations again about reshoring. Why is that?
Well, reshoring has really been a bit of a benefit for companies that can handle it. And by that, I mean who have the capital investment in equipment and resources to pick up business. You know, for so long, companies went offshore for price and for cheaper labor. To give you an example, here at LPS Industries, we'd buy a lot of aluminum foil, very thin, even thinner than what you would use in your household aluminum foil. And that's no longer made here in the United States, nowhere. We have to go offshore for that. We would love to see that industry bring on some capacity to make thin gauge foil, because thin gauge foil is really a high, high barrier material for the food and medical industries. However, to try to bring that in to reshore would mean major capital investments in milling equipment for those companies making aluminum today. I don't know if that's going to be a short-term fix. However, with blending offshore supply and having the capital investment like we do here, we can take on as much reshored product as needed, because the investment's already here, the people are already here, the labor, the equipment. So I think it's going to have to be something that is that, again, blended operation, where you may have to buy offshore to make final products here in the U.S. And, you know, I think it continues to need to be marketed, made in the USA for quality and for general ease of shipment, not having to worry about, you know, the transit situation that I earlier spoke about, would be a terrific, terrific way to bring on reshored U.S.-made products. But, you know, looking at the other side of it, we also have labor issues. It's tough finding people nowadays. There's a lot of overregulations that companies would say, you know, I need some help if I'm going to make millions and millions of dollars of, you know, major capital investments. And it really trickles down all the way down to even education of our young people. You know, why would you want to go into manufacturing? Well, you know, it's a high paid industry. It's, you know, you're accomplishing something. There's a lot of benefits to manufacturing besides supporting the local economies to where those manufacturing centers are. It provides quality, shorter deliveries, less transit woes. There's a whole list of trickle-down effects. But I, you know, I'm not, you know, an ostrich with my head in the sand either. I understand that we are part of a global market, and we do need to look at all avenues to make it work. And for someone like me in my business, it's a blend of, you know, bringing in what we need when we need it and making the final product here in the States. So, you know, it's part internalization and it's part globalization.
Yeah, just a couple more questions here. Again, really some interesting details shared per your expertise on behalf of LPS Industries. Now, Do you feel we have a robust manufacturing industry here? And can we take on the many requests that come in? And how are you a part of that growth as well? I know that's a triple whammy there, but thanks so much.
Well, we are able to bring on more capacity. LPS Industries has always invested in capital equipment to stay ahead of the curve from a technology standpoint and from an efficiency standpoint. We do see some reshoring coming back, and I think that's really due to transit disruptions. And I also think there's quality that we've seen benefits to making it here in the States. I think, one of the things that we see is many companies today do not want to go long on contracts. They want it tomorrow. They want it first rate. And they want to know that you have the capacity to handle any upswings. We do here at LPS Industries, and we see that, those are the ways to let customers and prospects know that, you can reshore here. There is capacity. There are plenty of people who can help us make it. And, key is to keep your employees retained and maintain your edge in technology.
Once again, Mr. Heronchak, we want to thank you for what you're doing, for joining us once again here today for this update. Much appreciated and helpful as well. Where can folks get more information about LPS Industries online?
At our website, www.lpsind.com. And Eric, I want to thank you. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and we thank you for the opportunity to give you today's update.
And you're more than welcome. It is always my pleasure, and I definitely look forward to your next visit with us here today. Again, folks, it is lpsind.com. Mr. Heronchak, all the best. Thanks for joining us once again here on EPN.
We look forward to it as well. Thank you, Eric. Have a great day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Mr. Paul Heronchak, the Vice President at LPS Industries, a New Jersey-based flexible packaging manufacturer. And again, the website of reference is lpsind.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.